This is KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Our mission, to partner with our community to provide a safe campus to deliver programs and services that inspire at-risk youth to learn new skills, gain self-esteem, and confidence.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away.
The Drummond Culinary Academy at Rancho Cielo is a place where kids get to play with food every day while learning valuable life skills. I had the immense honor of being a fly on the wall during their lessons and discovering how they learn and grow. The students gain classroom training, work experience, and transferable skills that help them become employable in the culinary and hospitality industry under the direction of Executive Chef Estefan Jimenez, or Chef EJ. One of the first students I met was Nicholas, who offered me a glimpse of what it was like to be in the program. Just a warning, though, to really get a sense of what's going on, I was with the students in their professional kitchen. With that comes a lot of banging pots, whizzing blenders, non-stop exhaust fans, and the like. This is real life, not reality TV. If you are a frequent listener to Playing With Food, you have probably figured out that I like the background noise of being on location. Here's Nicholas.
Hi, I'm Father Ian. I don't know if Chef EJ told you that I was coming to do something for my radio show. What's your name?
Nicholas.
And how long have you been part of this program?
Since last year. Since September of last year.
What do you like about this program?
Mainly the people that we meet. Met a lot of great chefs and a lot of great people as well. A little difficult, you know, there's a whole lot of recipes that, like, when they're new, you kind of go in just randomly and try to figure out how to go. For the most part, it's pretty fun, though. You know, like a controlled chaos, basically. I still feel like I don't know very much at all, but, you know, I'm getting there. Mainly just like knife skills and like techniques and how to be just quick and clean in the kitchen. I am making this garlic dip called Skordalia. Potato, kosher salt, garlic, blanched onions, olive oil, water, and some lemon juice. Boil the potatoes. From there, you're gonna cut up some garlic and add a bunch of salt to it like that. You're gonna mix the garlic, almonds, oil, and lemon juice in a puree machine. Puree it and then add the potato and then it'll be ready to go.
Have you tasted it before?
I have not.
I asked him about foods he has tried since he has been in the program, and that he hadn't tasted before.
Yeah.
What are some ones that stick out for you?
Mainly fish. I don't try fish at all, but since I've came here, I've tried a whole lot of weird fish and sushi and stuff like that. I'm actually starting to enjoy it now.
These kids are playing with food in a way that is shaping their lives. But Chef EJ has to make sure that their playing with food is constructive and actually does shape their lives.
The very first week, I knew I needed to get some sort of buy-in from them. I needed to get them excited in this program, you know, somehow. So on the very first day, I did a survey of what do you want to cook. There were a few commonalities throughout. Everybody on there was pizza, pasta. So we did a day of pasta. They probably weren't ready to make, you know, quality pasta. But what it did do was get their buy-in by allowing them to play with food, allowing them to have their hands on it for the first time. And that's something that I feel more comfortable with because it's not like we were, you know, wasting dead animals. That's always a hard one to swallow. Like, we got to figure out a way to eat that. But with pasta, it's like some flour and a couple of eggs, you know. But being able to show them 5, 6, 7, 8 types of pasta, different shapes, encased pasta, ravioli, things like that. And then them being excited about it and being able to play with their own food, being able to take their own pasta and actually touch it with their hands and actually creatively try to make their own type of flavor or their own shape or their own filling, their own, you know, anything. They had a good, you know, moment to experiment. And they did that for one entire day. I let them make as much pasta as they wanted for one day. And then the next day, they still wanted to make more. They were like, can we make more pasta again? But I think that was a really good thing because it got them interested and excited for food. I was proud of myself for just recognizing that I needed to provide something that they wanted to do if I wanted them to be interested in this.
Sounds like a fun program. Where do I sign up? Better yet, maybe I'll just shadow the students. I spent the day with the students and captured 3 playings with food. preparing a charcuterie platter, making enchiladas for a catered event the next day, and learning different ways to make calamari in preparation for a big Good Friday meal. During this playing with food, we are going to get schooled in salami, enchiladas, and squid. First up was the charcuterie plate.
So you took off that...
the layer?
That synthetic casing already, right? Mm-hmm. So this one, this was wrapped in, this was actually like a towel, right? And all that white stuff on the outside like that, you know what that was?
Oh, mold.
Amazing, right?
Chef EJ described the different types of salami. One thing I didn't know is that the reason they are cut to different thicknesses is because they do actually taste different based on their relative fat contents.
So if you guys want to try this, like where it's super, super thin, right? Because they all have different like fat contents and stuff. Try it where it's a little bit thicker. I think this one tastes better when it's thicker. So we know that guy likes it a little bit thicker. We're at number 10, okay? So all these little guys, we're slicing them at number 10. So the game for mortadella is all about the fat content. See how it's like starting to smear on there? Cut really thin. This is what's called bologna. This is the real thing. Pistachio and peppercorn. This is number 20. See how different it eats though when it's thick? This one's better thick than it is thin, right?
Yeah, way better.
Best thing about this one, prosciutto.
Isn't that what I wrap the
pigs
with?
Try that at number 20, prosciutto. Got like the texture of a rubber band, yeah? Okay, here's 10.
Prosciutto is definitely better thinner.
So we're going 10, 20, and like 7 or 8 right here. Okay, and you need to do what, 1 pound each? No, so you're just gonna slice all of this, keep it together, all of this together, all of this together, half of this guy, and probably like a quarter of this. Okay? And then tomorrow we'll build it onto the board and we'll garnish it.
So you have the demonstration about the different salamis and different meats, and so what have you done here?
We just cut the different kinds at different lengths, because each one that you cut at a different length, they taste better depending on what type of meat it is. I have never really tasted meat that was this fresh that you just cut like this, so I liked it a lot.
Here comes Chef EJ to inspect her work.
What you want to do is not jumble it up. You want to actually put a slice. You want to slice it and lay it down. Slice it and lay it down.
So in stacks? So what do I do?
Because these little pieces like this is really hard. Sometimes it gets like really stuck together later.
Have you learned a lot about food on this program?
Yes, I have. I used to be here 2 years ago, but I ended up graduating with the culinary certificate already. And so I just went back to regular high school, but I came back because I really enjoyed being at this program. I actually want to be a chef, so this type of school was really good for me, I guess you could say. Like, I used to be a very, very picky eater, and I used to not like to try new foods, but being in a restaurant and working in, like, in culinary, you have to try whatever you taste, so it has been very different for me. Oh, mushrooms. I used to hate mushrooms, but when I used to come here, I used to make this mushroom soup for dinner, and it was, like, amazing when I tried it. But I don't like mushrooms, so it was kind of weird.
Then for the calamari.
We have a big calamari dinner for our community, actually the community of Castroville, right next door. It's been going on for, I think this is 24 years. They do this calamari dinner on Good Friday, and the students prepare this calamari for about 500 people. So calamari, salad, pasta, bread, and our students prepare all that food on site over there.
Yeah. Good Friday's 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
So what's he doing here?
So we're just practicing. So I'm taking this opportunity to do a little demo and show them different preparations of squid. I already know that we're going to be using this preparation for it because it's the fastest and it's what they've done previously at the event. But we've taken some so that we can show them different techniques. So we're going to do some squid breaded and fried. This is just marinated with olive oil, lemon juice, parsley, and shallots and cracked pepper. And we're gonna do this grilled on the charbroiler. And then we're also gonna do one that has been marinated just a little bit in buttermilk and then just a little tap in flour. And we're gonna finish this off by making a quick little sauce in the pan with white wine, lemon juice, butter, capers. All three of them are very traditional. That way they get a little exposure into, there's more than just fried calamari out there.
Yeah. Chef EJ gathers the students for the demo.
Okay, so real quick guys, I'm gonna demo some calamari real fast. You guys all tried calamari? You tried calamari, Spider-Man?
Yeah.
What's the way to go, Shiloh?
Deep fried with lemon juice and tartar sauce.
Yeah. Real quick review, guys, right?
So Chef EJ picks up on the comment, octopus and squid are the same thing.
So there's fish on one side, right? And on the other side, there's shellfish. One of these here is mollusk. And in mollusks, one is a bivalve, one's a univalve. Okay, what about a univalve? One shell, exactly, abalone, shrimp prawns, okay, but that is a crustacean. Okay, so one more type of shellfish in here is called a cephalopod. And so this is Greek for head, foot,
squid,
octopus, cuttlefish, same family, squid and octopus, different animal. They both have tentacles. They both eat with a little beak, but they're definitely very different animals. The other squid that you get, that's like chopped up into the rings and the tentacles, that's the good kind. That's a little tiny squid.
Oh, yeah.
Right? This one comes from a giant squid or Humboldt squid, which is like, this animal is way bigger than the other ones. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're going to do a couple of methods. We're gonna do it good old fried. I have one marinated in just olive oil, lemon zest with the juice, parsley, and shallots. That one we're gonna cook on the charbroiler. And then I have one marinated in buttermilk. It's been about a half hour or so, maybe a little longer. It's marinated in the buttermilk. You don't wanna leave it there forever. Like if you leave it there until tomorrow, the lactic acid in the buttermilk is gonna kind of over tenderize it and it's gonna get that weird mushy texture to it. But that one we're gonna drain it out and just give it a little tap in a mixture of flour and cornstarch and our Rancho spice. And then when we're all done cooking that off in the pan, I'm gonna make a simple little sauce right in the pan and put on top.
So how is it?
That's good. Is there salt?
I wanna try the grilled one and the breaded one that we did, but I love fried calamari. We're here to expand our palate, and like a lot of people have already had the fried calamari, so it's just that much easier to go towards it. I want to try the other one though.
Okay, I haven't had calamari for a long time. Here we go. It's good. Calamari doesn't have much of a flavor, so it tastes really just fried. So why aren't they trying the other ones?
Because they're probably not breaded and fried. Why is that, you guys? Why aren't you guys trying the other ones?
Oh, we're allowed to?
Well, on the grill, and he added more lemon juice to it than the other one. And it is better because it goes through the taste of the fish, the calamari. It is way better. Because I really like lemon a lot, so that tastes like really nice.
I think this may be better than the other one, or the other one would probably try taste better with the sauce because you can taste like the lemon on it.
It just tastes like chicken to me.
There you go. Like,
how did they cook that one? That one is grilled up here. This one, the right in there.
Oh, okay.
I like that one better.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
Yeah,
that one tastes like... I haven't even tried that one yet. That's what I'm
going to try. A lot more subtle, kind of.
Yeah. My visit wasn't only learning about how these students are gaining skills while also learning about foods they had never experienced. It was also teaching me a few things. I have never cooked with calamari, and I only eat it when I'm in Monterey because it can so easily be turned into rubber. Here I was learning what the kids were learning, and they are really learning. I spoke to two of them during their lunch break. This program has them aspiring to achieve.
Hello, my name is Jacob Bustamontes.
My name is Jessica Solis.
I just started this year for like, I want to say 4 months.
I want to say maybe like 2.5 months, almost 3 months.
I like going from classroom to getting my high school diploma to having an outlet to come and take a break and do something else rather than always schoolwork. I think I'm learning a lot of different skills. Like inside the kitchen, we transition like each station. He rotates us, so everybody gets to learn something different. There's back of the house, you have hotline, which deals with like fish and pasta, and then you have pantry, which is like salads and dressing, and then you have the bake shop, where all the desserts are made.
I like cooking.
Okay. Did you cook before you came here?
Never in my life. Barely. I mean, I would cook sometimes, but not like on a daily basis, you know? I pretty much just knew how to grill, that's it. Chef's pretty strict about like how you chop stuff up, because he wants everything to look nice and fancy. Because that's how we serve the food here. Before, I would just go at it, just chop, 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 chop. And the chef's like, no, you have to cut it in squares. You have to dice it. Or it has to be this length. That has to be that length. It has to be, like, all uniform.
And what about the different types of foods you've been exposed to? Have you tried new foods while you've been here?
I never had duck before.
How was that?
It was good. Pretty much what we did is we got the duck. We put it in, like, a hotel pan. Filled it up with chicken broth. And then we threw it in the oven for overnight. So, like... I want to say we threw it in like before school's over, so at 3. And then we left it there overnight, and then by the morning it was like super soft. Like you could just hold it in your hand and it would fall apart. We served it because we had dinner on Friday.
What's the most complicated dish that you've made?
Probably the cassoulet. It's just like kind of like a soup, but not really. It's like meat, it's pork, chicken, and then you got to get like some rice and... You gotta cook it in the pan and all this. It's because before I wasn't used to like setting up your own station. So I was kind of confused on that, but I got the hang of it.
Probably risotto. Because it's just something I've never done before, and everything has to be done in a certain step. You can't just throw everything together. You have to put everything in at a like precise time, and it has like a process to it. It turned out good. I thought it was good.
Would you ever be a chef?
Yeah, at a really nice restaurant. You?
Where would you
Seattle. Because I was up there. I like the restaurants up there. And I've heard it's really nice. Great. They got some nice seafood out there.
Black
That's
seafood.
My favorite. Yeah, seafood's good.
I want to be a famous chef, probably in Monterey somewhere. Because they have like the most top fanciest restaurant. And I like them. I want to learn how to cook the steelhead that we make during restaurant. It's really good because as a server, you have to try the food. So they gave us a sample, like a plate for all of us to try. And it was like my favorite.
Back in the kitchen, I followed Shiloh from start to finish as he made 96 enchiladas under the direction of Chef Crystal.
This looks disgusting. What are you doing?
I am pulling the meat off some chicken bones. I'm making a tinga, which is like I'm going to put some julienned onions and some chipotle peppers. And we're going to throw it in the oven with some cilantro, and it's going to be enchiladas tomorrow. I've been in the program for about 6 months now. I've learned a lot, you know. I've learned how to properly, like, organize myself to work in a restaurant and, like, how things fall into place and, you know, how people work together between different groups. Well, I came in with a pretty good knowledge of food, so I haven't learned very much, but I'm getting to use like my knowledge and like perfect my skills every day. So this is my third culinary class. So I already knew quite a bit about how to cook. It was just like using it as a job is what I'm learning about here.
Are you able to tell me about the enchilada sauce?
I'm not, because Chef Crystal was behind that.
Okay.
I don't even know what went in it.
So what have you got there?
So I'm preparing a mole sauce with guajillo peppers and ancho chilies. The chili peppers, they come in dry, and we soak them in boiling water. And then I grill some onions and some garlic. And then I puree everything together with the water that I soak the peppers in. And then I add some cumin seed and some coriander, which is cilantro seed. And that's the sauce that we're going to be using for the enchiladas. But you can also use it for other things like chicken mole. We would add the chocolate to that to turn it into a traditional mole sauce and some sesame seeds, maybe some nuts. That's what we're working on for lunch tomorrow.
Okay, that's great. And it's only got those 6 or 7 ingredients in it.
Right.
Very,
very simple, yeah.
Can you say your name and what you do?
My name is Crystal Birkemeyer, and I'm one of the chef instructors here.
Great. And how long have you been instructing?
4 years.
And what do you like about it?
Everything. I'm actually from the area. I was born and raised here, so I really feel like I'm doing something for our community. Very, very gratifying.
So we are just combining the chicken with some chipotle peppers, tomatoes, and water to turn it into kind of the shredded chicken for enchiladas. Yeah, this is the chicken that I was doing when you saw me shredding.
Let's try the salt content too.
I'm sure you've heard her tell stories about Mexican food in Mexico.
Yeah, Chef tells a lot of stories about, you know, how her sauces are better than ours. All that stuff. Because she, you know, she comes from there and, you know, she has the background.
Does it make you want to go to Mexico and maybe take a cooking class there, or?
You know, I gotta say, Mexico has always been one of my favorite regions for their food, and I've always wanted to travel there and be able to like experience it firsthand and where it came from, you know? Because there's a lot of differences between American Mexican food and traditional Mexican food.
Do you think with the skills that you're learning here, and once you finish the program, you could possibly work in Mexico?
I would need the language skills first, of course, but it's definitely a possibility. If I do ever travel for work, I would rather travel somewhere more exotic like Europe. You know, Mexico is a little too close to home. It seems more a place I would go to vacation. I wouldn't really be able to immerse myself in the culture at the resorts, because I've had a lot of friends like tell me they went to Mexico, they were staying at the resorts, and every day that they went to eat food, they went to the burger place, you know? So I feel like if you want to immerse yourself in a culture, you can't stay on the resort.
No, but you could probably find a restaurant that's in or near the resort where your language skills wouldn't be much of a problem. And that's then true. Guess what? Guess what then?
I'm not sure, actually.
You're learning how to cook traditional Mexican food.
True.
And?
Well, and I don't have to speak Spanish.
Or?
Not following.
You learn Spanish because you're...
Okay, yeah, a little
you're,
bit.
Because you know the people working in the restaurants aren't going to be English speakers.
No. No, I have to pick it up.
Yeah, so there'll be some people who do speak both languages.
Yeah.
And then they'll teach you what you need to do, and then you'll be alongside the ones who speak Spanish, and you'll eventually learn Spanish. There you go. True. Two birds with one stone.
Multiple birds, shadow.
I bet he could accomplish both in 6 months to a year. But you know, it's got to be his own dream.
So next we're putting the assembly line together to put the enchiladas together. And so we got our hotel pan of chicken. We have a big, say, 5-quart container of enchilada sauce. We got a good amount of cheese right there. We're just going to throw them all together really quick and get them ready to go in the walk-in.
Okay. I want to see this.
You can do for 2 rows of 12, or you can just do this. Whatever you guys want to do. Okay. The sauce, and then finish it with a little bit of cheese so that tomorrow we can just, like, bake it off.
And now we got, like, a quarter of the cheese worked into the enchilada meat, so that way it's going to melt as they're cooking. So right now, we're just taking a little bit, a little handful of the meat, and we're rolling it into each tortilla, trying to keep it within the tortilla so it's not overflowing. We can pack them into the pan as many as we can, because we need to make about 96. And, you know, you kind of just work as you go. If you added too much chicken, you pull some out. If you didn't add enough, you put a little extra in. Next, we're going to add the sauce over the whole top of this. And then we're going to add the cheese. We're going to cover it in foil. And we're going to throw it in the walk-in for tomorrow. Yeah, it's in a lot of chili.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to finish it off with our grated cheese over there.
On Fridays, the school turns into a restaurant run by the kids. I didn't know if I would make it back, but I did. A parishioner of mine does some work with the kids at Rancho Cielo, so was delighted to hear about the Friday restaurant. She joined me for this culinary experience.
I'm here with one of my parishioners, Liz, who actually does some work here at Rancho Cielo, so welcome to dinner.
Thank you very much. I enjoy having it for dinner and not lunch.
So you come here for lunch?
Yes. The kids make the lunch. It is a open salad bar with soup. The salad bar is really good, so that's why I work on Thursday, so I make sure I get my lunch.
Well, we're staring at this 3-course menu. Do you know what you're going to have?
Well, I'll probably have the soup, since I love how he makes the soup, or the students do. And probably the steelhead fish.
The English pea and spring garlic soup looks really good. I'm not a big mushroom fan, so I might go for the baby spinach and strawberry salad. But it's not really strawberry season, but we'll see. But I heard that they made their own pasta, so I'm really interested in the braised beef parpadelli.
Homemade pasta is so much different than store-bought.
Great, and then dessert, there's strawberry tart, and there's chocolate caramel mousse cake, and fresh berries with sabayon.
Wow.
I don't know what a sabayon is.
I don't know either, but they all three sound very good.
They do.
A pickled vegetable salad with artichoke heart.
Oh.
What did they, pickled artichoke heart salad? I think that's what she said.
Yeah, pickled. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. What did you think?
It has a very fresh taste instead of that store taste. It really tastes like it just came out of the garden and was pickled a couple of days ago in a earthen jar. Very fresh.
Mmm, it was very good. Not a lot of vinegary kind of pickled flavor that I don't like. Your soup looks really pretty, and I see that it's just a little blob of mushrooms, not all the way through the soup. I might have been able to handle that.
Well, it certainly smells delicious.
Well, bon appetit.
Thank you.
This pappardelle looks great. Beautiful. It smells beautiful. Lots of beef, because sometimes you get beef pappardelle, and they give you just a little bit of shredded beef. How's your fish?
Smells good. Nice and fresh.
Well, let's dig in. We're waiting for our desserts. So what do you think so far?
I think the food is excellent. The fish is extremely fresh, and it was done exquisitely. It had a nice thick crust, but the inside was moist and tender with no bones. And I also have never had steelhead with citrus before, so I have a new idea for cooking.
Would you come again?
Yes, I certainly would, and I certainly am going to tell the people that I work with to think about coming as well.
It was standing outside looking at the whole campus of Rancho Cielo with Chef EJ when he told me how he got hooked into this program.
And, you know, kind of what got me here was I had been using the students from the Culinary Academy for years in my own business, you know, partnership. I'm a minority shareholder in another local business. But when I came out here and I saw how all of these programs work together, and you see that the Construction Academy has built the solar panels, and you see the solar panels on the transitional housing villages and on top of this building, and you know that, like, okay, that benefited this program and this program. And our students, some of them use the resources in the behavioral health, and some of them live in the transitional housing village, and some of them have their probation officers next door, and you see where the Silver Star students finish their term in juvenile detention and then transition to doing this to learn vocational training and something different. It's really, really cool. And when you see the students get exposed to so many other things, like mountain biking and hiking and fishing, we have two fishing ponds, and you know, and other things that traditionally they wouldn't be exposed to if they were just left in their, you know, environments without being here. So that's what really got me on here, is coming out here and seeing how all these programs work together to benefit just the one campus.
That's fantastic. Programs like these need teachers with both passion and compassion. Chef EJ definitely has both of those qualities in abundance. And so did Chef Crystal. For him, this is more than just a job.
You know how our CEO puts it, that really we're in the love business. You know, there's many programs on here, but we work together towards those common goals. And the measure of our success is the students and their abilities when they leave us. And not just in being able to find a job, but even just in the way that they're able to care for themselves and, you know, able to make better decisions and prove to be effective contributing members of the community. I think our current thing under our logo right now is building skills, changing lives, and being able to see them change themselves. That's the real reward, being able to actually watch that happen, like, right in front of you.
Do you know how much it costs to put an at-risk youth through a program at Rancho Cielo? $10,000 a year. $10,000. That's a lot of money. We put $10,000 into a troubled kid, and that's before she has a job. What's the deal? The deal is the cost of keeping that troubled kid in jail or prison. That cost? $100,000 per year. I didn't ask any of the kids what got them into the juvenile criminal justice system. I figure if we're trying to give these kids a chance to succeed in the world, we need to give them a chance to experience the present and focus on their futures and not have them be drugged down by their pasts. Spread my wings and fly away. $10,000 a year at Rancho Cielo. 80% of the students are still out of trouble, and 85 of them are still employed. $100,000 for a year of incarceration? Only 40% of youth offenders stay out of trouble. Seems a no-brainer to me.
I had a great experience at culinary school, and I would love to see some of them continue on. I think some of them would be hugely successful in this industry. But if they're not, and that's not the direction that they want to go, I just hope that we've influenced them and been able to provide a life skill at the same time. Some of them just need more of a role model.
Chef EJ is certainly one of those, and the Culinary Academy and the other programs at Rancho Cielo are always looking for role models to be volunteers. What a perfect example of how playing with food can be inspiring and life-affirming. I'm Father Ian, and I'm Playing with Food.